With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
So we began studying last Wednesday seven steps of how to receive anything from God. Can you say anything? Let me say that again. Seven steps of how to receive anything from God. Say anything. All right. Now let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to give you the seven steps so that we can know where we're going as God begins to build this inside of you. He's already given me the word, but he's got to build this inside of you. The first step is to know the will of God. And faith begins where the will of God is known. And we have two subcategories. And Sunday we taught on knowing the Word of God, the Logos, knowing the Scripture. And we'll get into that in just a minute. The second part of it is to know the Rhema Word of God. That's to have a knowing on the inside of you regarding what the Word of God says. Amen. Number three is to fill your heart with His will. And we'll talk about renewing the mind and cultivating the revelation from your spirit. Number four is to prepare. First, you prepare with wisdom from the Lord. That's getting God's view of God's perspective. And secondly, is you begin to prepare naturally. If you're going to build a fence, what's the first thing you need to do? Anybody that has spent any time on the farm, Vern would know this. Jim would know this. Pastor Josh, you got to clear a row, don't you? You got to clear all the brush. And then you've got to get your stuff out, and you've got to put posts along the way, and then you get your wire prepared to be able to spread it, to stretch it out. And then you begin the work of building the fence. So there's preparation. The Bible says if a man builds a tower and he doesn't set things aside, he doesn't count the costs, and he's going to look like a fool when he's not able to finish the thing. Amen? So there's preparation. First is getting the wisdom of God, and then there's some natural preparation. Number four is to sow a seed, and you'll have to release it, and then you'll have to understand that it's after its own kind or in the like manner. Number six is to pray, and there's no such thing as a silent prayer. Prayer is not in your head. That's called meditation. And if some of y'all don't realize why you're not getting what you say you're praying about, it's because you're actually not praying. If you speak it out of your mouth and you believe in your heart, now that's prayer. All right? You can have communication with God, or you could think out of your spirit. You could mutter. You understand? You can even confess, and you're renewing your mind to the thing. But you're not praying until you believe in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth. And number six is to receive. Two parts to receiving. The first is expectation. And the second is, the Bible says that we draw on the wells of salvation with joy. So the second part is to have joyfulness. All right? And number seven is to express thankfulness. First part of that is to transfer the glory to God. And the second part that we'll study will be to lead others in praise. So let's review knowing the will of God, which is step number one. Faith is not a matter of having the knowledge of. I heard a guy across the street. We were at Smoky Row, and he lives catty corner here. And I said, well, have you ever been on Google? He says, I don't believe in computers. Just because he says he doesn't believe in computers doesn't mean he doesn't believe that computers exist. He doesn't practice the use of computers. Are you hearing me? A lot of people believe in Jesus, but not very many people have put their faith in him and believe in their heart. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And the word known, K-N-O-W in the English, we also get the word, we drive the word knowledge. Knowledge is more in the upper part of your anatomy of being a human, in your mind. Your brain's not your mind. Your brain is your physical organ your mind uses. Your mind doesn't communicate with your body. Your brain does. I'm going to help you out just for a second here, okay? Your mind doesn't communicate with your spirit. Your mind communicates with your heart. Your heart doesn't communicate with God. Your heart communicates with your spirit. I'm trying to help you now. Your spirit communicates with God's spirit. And when you get the order of the thing the way God made you, now you'll be able to understand how God speaks to you. And that's how you have to know God's will. The first part is you begin to renew your mind with the Logos, the written word of God. And we studied that out. In 2 Timothy 3:15, let's go to there. And the word that is used here in the Greek is the word Logos. Everybody say Logos. L-O-G-O-S. Logos. In verse 14 it says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and what you become convinced of." There's two different things here. Because you know from whom you've learned it. And how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Logos, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, is telling Timothy that he learned it through the Scripture from his mother, but then he became convinced of it. And I want you to start to help you grow in your faith. It's not jamming more information in your head. That helps get your mind into agreement with the Word. Amen? The more you get into the Word, the more you study the Word, the more you read the Word, yes, it will help your mind get into agreement. And then it gets deposited in your spirit, and it reveals the mind of God within you. Your acceptance of the truth of God's will is what we call faith. Faith without an accompanying action, with you don't line up what you say and what you do and how you talk to others in regard to what you say you believe. Now, that's going to determine any power or effectiveness in your belief. It doesn't mean that to say that your faith is of no value doesn't mean it doesn't exist. As the body without the spirit is dead, in Spanish, muerto, as the body without the spirit is dead, so is your faith without an action. So is your faith without a deed. But now faith comes by what? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. That's particularly talking about the faith for salvation. Timothy learned of the Lord through the scripture. But you understand, when the Apostle Paul is writing for 2 Timothy to him, there is no New Testament yet. So he's saying all logos, all the written word, is useful. But faith for salvation came through the rhema word of God. See, the word of God can help jerk this thing in line. The rhema word of God has the power to cause it to do. The rhema word of God creates the ability for that word to come out of human flesh with power to transform. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm getting something. I want to grow in faith. I don't want to be in the same place of faith next year as I am this year. Do you? I want to have made a bigger difference for the Lord. I want to have made a bigger difference in your lives by God using me. I want to have made a bigger difference by, you know, I don't want people to just know, oh, he's a churchgoer. I want them to say, he's a man that God listens to. When he prays, things happen. I don't know what, I heard natural people say, I don't know what it is about you, but you just keep going and going and going. You keep getting things done. It's not at the speed I want it to, but it's getting done. Because I know that I know that I know we're where we're supposed to be doing what we're doing. Where did I find that from? From the written word of God, the Logos? No. See, let me give you what Logos means, okay? Logos literally means a word, speech, divine utterance, or analogy. Speech, divine utterance, a word being expressed of a thought, and the word became flesh and dwell among us. That's Logos. Is preeminently used of Christ expressing his thoughts, the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. It's regarding to a person sharing a message, but it means an expressed word. Guys, I want you to hear something. I went to three different definitions for you, and it means expressed or delivered word. Expressed, delivered, said. What's the common denominator? Past tense. God established, past tense. He spoke, past tense. He recorded, past tense. Now, the biggest difference between rhema and logos is in the tense. See, God anoints the written word of God, what he recorded as Moses wrote, as he was carried along and wrote the first five books of the Bible. As Ezra was inspired by God and carried along, as he wrote the scripture, as Hosea wrote down the scripture, as Joel wrote down the scripture, as Malachi wrote down, you understand? These are words that were written. Everybody say written. He's not speaking, listen, he has spoken. That's the difference between logos. It has been, now listen, not just pen and ink, but it was established. It was recorded. God's word said, it shall not return to him void. That's what prayer does. But it shall accomplish the thing that he sent, past tense, it forth to do. Come on. Are you with me? Now, the word of God that is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword is rhema. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is rhema. It's not logos. Now, God can anoint the written word of God, whether it be a proverb or whether it be a psalm or whether it be out of the law, and he could bring it to revelation in your heart, and it could come across out of your mouth like rhema. Jesus did that when Satan tempted him, and it says that he returned a word to him. It was logos, but when it came out of his mouth, because he activated it with faith and the power of the Spirit, what did he say? It is written. And when he quoted the word of God to him with faith, that word of God became rhema. This is very important. The Lord God, in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, told them to write the word of God above their door panels. To take the word of God and put it in on their armbands. They had little boxes with scripture in it. They had it on their head. Now, guys, the idea was not that that word was going to be looked reserved. This is not magic. Just because you write the word of God on your forehead doesn't mean it's going to work. If you write the word of God on your mirror with lipstick doesn't mean it's going to have power. If I write the word of God on a banner and I wear it across here, Jehovah Nissi, then that's not going to cause the power of God to go before me as my banner. What's going to cause the power of God to go before me is not something that is written, is something that becomes alive and comes out of me. That seat's reserved. Now that's an example. Now that's not Bible, but that's an example of rhema. Now here's an example of logos. If nobody enforces this, it's just logos. You understand? God released the power when he recorded it. Now it's up to us by faith to take it and transfer it, to take it and to metamorph it, to change the thing like a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. All the beauty of a butterfly is in the caterpillar, but it's got to go through a process. And the process, the cocoon that God has, is your flesh holding your spirit, come on, that contains his spirit. And when your mind gets incubated, when it starts incubating the written word of God, then something's going to drop down in here and life is going to come, and out of your mouth's going to come that butterfly. Can you imagine a caterpillar getting to the top of the tower here and jumping off and say, fly? Or a bird's going to get him on the way down. Now that's what happens when we take the word of God and we say, therefore that's what the word says. But if you don't believe it in your heart, you see, there's power in the word, but it takes faith to activate it. All right, praise the Lord. Now go to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to begin tonight on, wow, rhema. Now I went to a Bible school. I went to Evangel, which was an Assembly of God Bible school. I went to Rhema, which was Brother Hagin's Bible school, when Brother Hagin was still on the earth and had authority here. And then I went to Damata, which was a missions Bible school that Mark and Janet Brzee had. Now, Pastor Nijia and I graduated from both Rhema and Damata. But you know, I went to Rhema and I didn't understand Rhema. I didn't get it. I mean, thank God I got all those seeds in me. But they're still harvesting a revelation regarding the subject of the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it says in the first chapter of the book of John. That is logos. So you know there is power in the Logos because Jesus became the Logos. And Jesus still has some flesh, guys. He ascended in the heavenly realm in flesh. That's why he has authority on the earth to do whatever he wants to do. But he is the Word come in the flesh. So there's authority in that Word. There's life in the Word. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel, where did I say? Chapter 36. And we're going to go to verse 24. Now what we're going to see here is the promise. We're studying tonight the Word of God. And we want to study out not only the Old Testament promise, but the manifestation. And we'll show you both those in just a minute. Verse 24. God says, "For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you." Are you guys listening? "And I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Do you notice that even here there's a difference between heart and spirit? And the spirit that he's talking about here, the first spirit, is a small s, your human spirit. And remember, your human spirit is connected to your heart, and your heart is connected to your mind, and your mind is connected to your, you know, my foot bone's connected to my ankle bone, my... Now, God's spirit is connected to my human spirit connected to my heart is connected to my brain is connected to my body, and my body is connected to this earth. How does God get his will done on this earth? He does it through his body. All right. I'm trying to hit this from 100 different ways, guys. So he says that I will give you a new spirit. And then he says in verse 27, I will put my, and it's capital S, spirit in you and move you or compel you to follow my decrees and to carefully keep my law. Now that's the promise. That God's going to jerk the broken spirit out of you, the one who had the nature of this fallen world and was corrupted by this world. When you got born again, you just didn't make a decision. Come on, belief came in your heart and God created in you a brand new spirit. And then he put his spirit inside of you and you became at that point marked in the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you became a child of God's. Yeah, but what about the blood? That's what cleansed you. What about his body? That's what paid for your healing. What about the agony of his soul? That's what released your mind. Jesus, John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on the disciples and he opened up their minds so they could understand the scripture. Come on. Now, I want you to see this promise. The first time that it is fulfilled is in Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we will probably go there tonight. But first, I want you to see it fulfilled to somebody who is out of the nations. So let's go to Acts chapter 10. What do you mean out of the nations? I mean somebody who wasn't in the covenant of Israel. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. What had happened was Peter and the disciples had only been preaching to those of Israel. Salvation was not promoted for the Gentile up until this point. And God had to jerk the slack out of Peter by sending an angel to him when he was up on the roof waiting for dinner to be made. Well, why was he up on the roof? Guys, because the climate isn't like it is here. I've been in Western Africa and I've been in the Middle East. And I tell you, when it gets hot, you do not want to be inside that clay house. When it gets hot, you want to be up on the roof and have some type of a blanket so it's blocking the sun because at least the air is moving. Because you don't have air conditioning. You don't have an electrical fan. Mali, Africa, or somewhere like that, you want to get up on top of the roof where the last place you want to be is inside a clay house getting baked like a rotisserie chicken. So Peter's up there waiting for lunch to get done. And an angel comes to him and says, "Now, I'm going to send you." He gives him the vision. And then the angel says, "I'm going to send a man and you're going to follow him and you're going to preach the gospel." And in verse 44, he's there with a Gentile. And it says, while Peter was speaking these words. Everybody say these words. This is a direct translation from the word rhema. Understand that there are no scriptures. Please hear me. that the Gentiles will... you know how sometimes a Christian will say, oh no, it's right here in the Bible. You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God because it's right here. Hold on, they didn't have any of that. And the scriptures didn't mean anything to somebody who wasn't from Israel. I want you to understand. Now, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have Matthew through Revelations. They didn't have that. So he gets up. I mean, this is just a very short period of time after the resurrection. And he begins speaking the rhema. Faith comes by what? Hearing what? And that word is rhema. Please understand, if Peter or Paul or Peter were speaking to the Jews, they would have taken the Logos and breathed life into it, and it would have become a convicting witness of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But he's speaking to Gentiles who didn't even believe in the scriptures and the scrolls and the parchments. And he's speaking a rhema word, a something that God has made alive. He not only witnessed Jesus, but he put all of his faith and belief in Jesus. And then the power of the Holy Spirit, come on, caused that word to become living and active inside of him. And it says, while Peter was still speaking these rhema words, the Holy Spirit came on all who, everybody say heard the message. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, this is the religious side here. I want to say it like, surely no one can keep them in the way of being baptized in water. Because they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. That's the way I see that. Come on, God has to take these Gentiles who are not circumcised, who have no access toward the covenant with God, and he has to go beyond Peter, even what Peter can believe, and cause the miracle of tongues to come out of them so that he can believe that God is willing to save Gentiles. Let's get them right back into religion. Now, we need to be water baptized. But what Peter is demonstrating here is that it wasn't Peter's faith that caused them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was the rhema coming out of his mouth. Jesus commanded that we all be baptized. Amen? But hold on. That is an outward sign of something that has already happened on the inside of you. You don't get baptized and believe. You believe. The miracle of salvation comes, a new created spirit comes, and then out of obedience and a public confession, you're baptized. And you know what happens there? It's almost as if you're circumcised in the heart, because in that public confession, you know, the hold of that fleshiness of sin drops off of you. But the true baptism happened without Peter's faith. He just obeyed, and he shared about Jesus. And he shared about the salvation they were experiencing. And the rhema word of God got into their human spirit and created faith. And when they acted upon it, he didn't say, now pray this prayer with me. They acted upon it and began to praise God and slipped into other tongues. All right, you meditate on that for a while. Now, the word rhema is spelled, as we transliterate it, R-H-E-M-A. It means, listen, a spoken word made by a living voice. And in the Hebrew, when it says that God created them in his image, there is the inference that he created us speaking spirits as he is. Say living voice. You can put your Bible on your coffee table and it's going to do nothing to save your family unless somebody reads it. You can store it up in your heart, but until it starts coming out of your mouth, it's not going to change anything but you. Can I say that again? You can read the Word of God and store it up in your heart. You can even receive it. But if you don't let it come out of your mouth, the only thing that's going to change is you. Well, that's good preaching. So what do you got to do? You got to conform your tongue to the Word of God. And listen, you could try and do it by discipline, but you're going to be sorely disappointed. For no man can tame the tongue, it says in the book of James. The only person that can tame the tongue is the Holy Ghost. So you need your heart full of the Holy Ghost, and you need your head full of the Word, so that it is the fullness out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. I gave this illustration in staff meeting today. And I'm going to use my little iPad here, like it's the magical lever between your head and your heart. Now remember, your head's not connected to your spirit. Your mind is connected to your heart, and your heart is connected to your spirit. So this place that I'm talking, this tray, this magical tray that exists within you, is between your mind and your heart. Now listen, I can deposit it in my heart through confession, and the tray comes out. It's like pushing a button. When I confess the Word of God, it gets dropped down into my heart. What I'm doing is I'm meditating, but I'm also building up the reserves of my heart. That's why the Bible says that you keep your heart with all due diligence. If you're not speaking the Word of God, you're not going to get it deep down into your heart. It's just going to be up in the higher part of who you are. And your mind is not to be dismissed. Am I teaching too much? It's to be subjected or governed by your spirit. Your heart can't speak anything. Listen very carefully. Your heart cannot speak anything with consistency that it's not full of. Your heart doesn't have a will. Your mind does. Your spirit has a will, and your spirit has power. Your heart, the way the Bible talks about it, is a container. Now listen, there are two ways to fill your heart. You draw on the Spirit, and you meditate the Word and confess the Word. Meditate, mutter, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. You mutter, you speak it. And as you do that, it gets deposited in your heart. But what also is happening is you're transforming your mind. If you catch yourself saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You know what? You got to get to the point that you understand after about 10 times, that's the abundance of your heart. If you find yourself constantly criticizing people, if you find yourself constantly being judgmental, if you find yourself constantly being angry, listen, those are the issues that your heart is full of. And here's the deal. It's not coming out of your spirit if you're born of God. It's coming out of your head. And some people don't even let their head rule their body. And so they say, I'm hungry. I'm tired. It's cold. Well, you hear me? I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm tired. I'm hungry. And people, they're letting their body govern them. Now, the person who doesn't talk that way and is led by the Spirit still gets hungry, still gets tired, still gets hot, still gets cold. But it doesn't govern them. All right, let me try this. Well, I'll tell you, it's bad out there. The economy's bad. Come on. Oh, it's going to get worse. I mean, there's fighting all over the place. It's getting bad. It's getting really dark. People are getting meat. It's not safe to go outside. I'm afraid to go outside because a lion may... That's what the Bible makes in Proverbs. It makes light of it. The fool says, I'm not going outside. There might be a lion out there. I'm not going to plant corn today. It might rain. Well, get out there and plant corn until it does rain. Get out there the street until a lion does start chasing you. You'll find out God will anoint you to run like a lickety-split. Or to say, lion, lay down and be still. He'll give you the faith. That's a result of somebody that's led by their head. Information is coming in through their ear gate and their eye gate, and they're letting that information rule them. Let me put it that way. They're letting that information govern them. I can't tell you how many people I personally know that went through a hard time financially and their income didn't change in the last 4 years. Or last 5 years since that recession. But the confession of their mouth just talked themselves right out of a job. Are you listening to me? But the person whose mind is, listen, stayed on the Word of God, doesn't change like the shifting shadows, isn't tossed to and fro by the waves or the conditions on the earth. Their mind is stayed. See, your spirit is stayed because God is in it. Listen, if you don't draw on your spirit, you don't spend any intimate time with God, you don't spend any time praising Him, you don't spend any time worshiping, any time in the Word, even reading the Word of God without trying to grasp a spiritual revelation from it will not bring about the power in your life that you need to have that intimate time with the Holy Spirit so that the Word that you put into your eye gate and your ear gate becomes rhema. A word that is spoken by a living being. The word that Moses spoke won't do me any good. The word that Joshua spoke won't do me any good until it gets into my heart. I draw it up out of my spirit. It becomes the abundant thing in my heart, and it becomes what I believe, and then I speak it with a conviction that is not natural. If you can't just make up your mind to believe by Jesus' stripes you're healed and get healed by your faith. You can provoke God into doing something good because He still has grace and mercy. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy withholds the judgment or punishment that you do deserve. Thank God He's full of grace and mercy. But you're not going to get anything by faith just by making up your mind by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Because right there, you're just regurgitating the Logos. And then the next minute you're saying, well, I'm not healed. Well, this is going to get me. That's going to get me. I got to stay away from this. I got to stay away from that. And fear will start to rule you. It's got to become rhema inside of you so that when you release it, you being a living soul, you being a speaking spirit, takes the word of God, not through discipline, but through revelation and anointing, speaks it out of your mouth. That's a now word. Now I want you to write this down regarding rhema. When you look at the Greek, you guys, rhema and logos are very close because they're both a spoken word, but one is past tense. Rhema is a now word. I know you've heard it preached out of Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is now. It's now. I have known some things in my spirit and then work to try and get my mind into agreement. But at least I got my mind into neutral. Then the revelation came that it was mine. And then I had, listen very closely because I want you to hear what I'm saying. I had liberty in the Holy Ghost to begin to confess it, profess it, and even pray it. Mark 11:23, let's go there for a minute. I know you're learning something. And listen, if your head is hurting, that's okay. That just means that your head is being transformed. You think Satan's... The most valuable real estate you own is not the place where your house is. The most valuable real estate that you own is the distance, the ground between your two ears. You think Satan's going to give that up without a fight? That's why you fall asleep when you read the Word of God. He is going to fight you tooth and nail for every inch of the territory of your mind. Oh, that's good. Verse 22. 22 says, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Where does a person doubt according to the Word of God? Not in their head, in their heart. You have to understand, your head is accessible by Satan. He can put signposts up in your head. You have to decide whether it's from God or not and tear it down. Don't leave them in there. Yank those suckers out. Take them captive. Take every thought captive according to a mental decision. No, according to the power of Christ, and cast that thing down. Those vain imaginations. You're always going to have the battle in the head, but the battle is not won in the head. The battle is won in the heart. How do you win in the heart? You fill your head with the Word and you draw on the Holy Spirit. Thoughts descend into the heart. Revelation rises up out of your spirit. Therefore, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Verse 23 says, if anyone does not doubt in their heart but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So doubt is in your heart. Now go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 says this. Verse 10, for it is, by the way, in Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 10, it's all rhema. It's not logos. I'll go up to verse 8. But what does it say? The rhema, the word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is, it's not rhema if it's not in your heart. If it's just coming off your head through discipline, guys, listen, that's good because you're renewing your mind. You're supposed to renew your mind with the word of God. You're supposed to profess and confess and meditate the word. Why? So you can transform your mind. You can change your mind. And then you fill your heart. And with due diligence, you watch what's going into your heart. How's it going to get there? Through your eye gate, through your ear gate, through your senses, through those you hang with. Corrupt communication will change your heart. Just like godly communication will change your heart. Praise the Lord. Now listen. What does it say? It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. That is the message of faith that we proclaim. That if you declare with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, that's not plain enough. So he says it again. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you profess and are saved. So you believe in your heart. The action that causes the belief to come alive and to manifest is confession. So in this instant, he hears the rhema about Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He believes it. You believe it in your heart. Now the belief is there. I'm not denying there's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is the Lord. But until they profess him as their Lord, and it is a rhema that comes out of their mouth, they ain't saved. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I used to hate this because I could not get my head wrapped around it. And it don't matter what my head says. Just because I pray a prayer doesn't mean I'm saved. The words coming out of a tongue and a mouth that doesn't believe are just as dead as words resting in your heart or your head and not coming out of your mouth. I could write Jesus is Lord and put it across my head. Come on, that doesn't mean I'm saved. I can say the prayer, but that doesn't mean I have to believe in my heart and I have to confess it out of my mouth. It's got to be a rhema to me. Are you hearing me? Ash, are you getting it? It's got to be in here and it's got to be up in here. It's got to be in agreement. Then it comes out of your mouth. The power to be saved is not in a dead prayer. But now you pray on Our Father in faith in the name of Jesus. That's going to have some power. All right. I want you to hear this. Rhema. A spoken word made by a living voice. Dead words out of dead mouths produce nothing. You can take the word of God and put it in the mouth of a fool and a heathen, and it will produce nothing. I can't tell you how many heathens, a good word, how many unbelievers I have known that said, I've read the Bible, and I've read the Quran too, and I've read the writings of Buddha. Now, the Word of God, the Logos, has the ability to provoke faith and create faith, but they have to receive it and let it come on. And you know as well as I do, not a single one of you can refute it, because I know it's true by the Word of God. You heard about Jesus, and then you heard about Jesus, and then you heard about Jesus, and you heard about Jesus, and then you started thinking about Jesus, and then you came to the point that, man, you swung that sickle and you prayed. When what it filled your heart. Listen, the active living kind of faith that God requires to release power on your behalf is produced by hearing the Word of God, hearing the living Word of God. That's why people who don't attend a church and won't submit to a pastor are lacking something in their faith. Because they need to hear the Word of God now out of the voice of a living being. I don't care how much of the Old Testament you have memorized. You can even memorize through the book of Revelation. You're not going to quote a scripture and verse that's going to tell you where to work and where to live, how to forgive your wife, how to walk in love, how to take care of your finances in this economy by faith. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find the exact things in the Word of God. You're not going to find it. Unless God has a place that the address is Aeneas and it's on Straight Street, you're not going to find it in the Bible where you're supposed to live. So we're going to get into what rhema truly is in our life. We know that rhema, in the big picture of this thing, is something that is spoken by a living voice. For the Lord speaking his dynamic living word in the believer to in-birth, I love that, his faith. Everybody say in birth. Because you give birth to the Spirit of God from within. The seed comes in here, and the birth is in here. So it's the Word of God, whether it's Logos, but when the Logos becomes Rhema to you, personal, a knowing as in Adam knew Eve, not as in, I know that's a girl. A knowing as in experience, something that you have to reject. Something that you come on abort. Something that you have to get out of miscarry. See, it's got to be that. It's got to be alive in you, and you got to know it's alive in you. You're going to miscarry it. You're going to abort it. You're going to reject it, or you're going to let Satan steal it, or you're going to choose the cares of this world over it, and you're going to let it die, and it'll slowly choke the life out of the thing. But when it's a rhema man and you receive it and accept it, it'll start to fill your heart. It'll in-birth from in here, and it will bring life to your heart. It'll start filling your heart. Have you ever seen something that like it's one of these test tube things and it goes down here and then the vaporizes, but then the water, the fluid comes up from the top and it gurgles up like a spring? Oh, that's what he spoke of the Holy Spirit. And be like wells, a spring of living water, bubbling in-birth. Bubbling up in you. Now the Logos can provoke that thing. But when it becomes Rhema, it starts a birthing process on the inside of you. In Romans 10:17, it says, I want to read it exactly as it's written here. So faith proceeds from spiritual hearing. Moreover, this hearing is consummated through a Rhema word from Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now listen, I'm not saying you can't be in your prayer closet and God have asked the Holy Spirit and God anoint a scripture in the Old Testament that it will produce a rhema in you if you ask Him to. But where is the living Spirit that's speaking? It's the Holy Spirit. And you want it to have authority on this earth, you got to have some flesh that comes into agreement and lets that Word dominate or govern them, and then it comes out. Galatians 3, verse 2 and 5. You don't have to turn there. I want you to mark it down and then please study it out. Refers to the hearing of faith. Hearing that goes with the divine inbirthing of faith. There's that word again. I like that. Inbirth. Now, go to 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to study four things, just four points, four scriptures on this part here. A rhema will give you four things. A rhema word from God. So that's a personal word from God. That's a knowing from God. That's an intimate. That's not something that's... Listen, there's rhema words of God going out right now. I could be saying the and you're hearing something. God's dealing with you. That's what happens when the anointing is present. And you're drawing on the anointing. And you don't look at the words just as natural. And if you're looking at the words just as natural, you might as well go down to the first church of the Frozen Chosen. Because in this church, we need a revelation of the manifestation of God's power. And that comes first by you honoring the Word. Not honoring me. Honoring the Word, the time that we're here. Letting as it comes out of my mouth for God to transform what I'm saying that is anointed into you, into a rhema word. And He may talk to you about something I'm not even discussing. And if there's conviction that needs to be convicted, God will do that. Don't blame me. Praise the Lord. That's why pastors go and hide themselves from the congregation. Because they start looking as the pastor as natural and they can't receive the anointed word of God. And they think things that should not be thought. It's difficult when you have a small congregation. When you have a large congregation and a word comes forth. Well, come on, it's a little bit different, isn't it? The word of God, a rhema word, instructs you. 1 John Chapter 2, right? Everybody say instructs. We had some of the best basketball players that were filled with faith down at Rhema when I was helping coach down there. You know, I was in charge of the drills and the exercise and the diet, and believe it or not, it was the diet. And we kept taking those guys back to the basics. Dribbling. Ball handling. defense, boxing out. Simple. Dribbling, ball handling, defense, boxing out. And then we'd work on shooting. And you know, those guys were constantly instructed. And I rather enjoyed it. Because I rather enjoyed putting some of those guys through. Now, one of the guys that I used to coach, he's the head of the power team now. I think we're going to have him up in Iowa. But I remember he was a little arrogant cuss. I just love running him through drills. I love making him run squeegees. I love making him do, you know, I just loved it. It was fun. But he was getting instructed even though he was a good ball handler. He was our point guard. He was a good ball handler. But we didn't stop running over the drills of how to dribble, how to pivot, how to cut the corner, how to start, how to stop, how to keep your body weight, your center of gravity low. You understand what I'm trying to say? He knew how to do that. But we kept going over and over and over and instructing him. All right, now in 1 John chapter 2, we find the instruction that comes from a rhema word of God. It will give you a word of instruction. That's what I want you to put in your notes. Verse 26 says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as his anointing is real, not covenant, just as he has taught you, remain in him. Now guys, don't get arrogant. You need a teacher. Because Ephesians chapter 4 says he's given pastors and teachers in the body of Christ. And why don't you just sit down and read this in context. It says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. What is he doing? He's instructing them. He's training them. He's disciplining them. That doesn't mean beating on them. He's pulling on them to go the right way. Stay away from the guys who want to lord it over you, who want your money. Stay away from the guys who just want to have a following to say they are somebody. You don't need anybody like that. You have an anointing that teaches you all things. But do they know the word of God? No, they have to be instructed. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them, that's instructing them, all the things I've commanded you. Now hold on. Did Jesus forget that the anointing was going to come and teach them? This anointing is teaching you and instructing you about your personal life. Please don't come to me and ask me whether you should move to Michigan. I'm going to tell you, well, you have the Holy Ghost. Now, I can pray with you and help you. I'm not going to instruct you, because if you move to Michigan and you weren't supposed to move to Michigan and all hell breaks loose, you're going to blame me. Besides, if I tell you to move to Michigan and you don't have it in your heart to move to Michigan and you move to Michigan, then when all hell breaks loose, you're going to blame me. But if you know that you know you're supposed to move to Michigan, then when all hell breaks loose, then you're going to have faith in God's word, his rhema word to you. Come on. That's the instruction he's talking about. Because the Apostle John, who loved Jesus, isn't going to contradict Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, where he says, you need to be taught. I need to be taught. You'd be surprised at how much Pastor Josh and I spend listening to the word while we're doing very natural things around here. Listen to the anointed word, some man that is preaching and ministering into our hearts. We all need it. And we got to have the relationship with somebody to be taught. You got to rub shoulders with somebody to be taught. And you need to be teaching somebody. Praise the Lord. Now, number two, a rhema word will guide us through, write this down, intimate knowledge. Turn to Romans chapter 8. A rhema word, you need a rhema word inside of you. That is a now word, an intimate word, a personal word. And Romans chapter 8 says that this word will give you intimate knowledge of God's will. And let's begin in verse, 13 will be fine. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The spirit you receive doesn't lead you and make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption as sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself, that's capital S, testifies with our spirit, that's a little s, not your heart, not your head, that we are children of God. Guys, the Spirit of God will intimately testify to you regarding your life. Now, there's a part where you apply discipline when you hear the Word of God, but you know as well as I do, you really don't transform your life until it becomes an integral part of you, until it becomes a rhema. You hear it from God. You know how I know you're hearing from God? It used to be frustrating. When I'll be preaching on something for 6 months, and then somebody comes up and says, you know what? God told me. And they tell me exactly what I've been preaching for the last 6 months. And I'll go, praise the Lord. Because you got to hear it from God yourself until you'll receive it and live it. All I'm doing is trying to provoke the rhema inside of you. I'm planting seeds and I'm watering. I can't make the thing grow. You can turn on the lights in your greenhouse. You can turn up the temperature in your greenhouse. You can put water down in the seeds in your greenhouse. You spend an intimate time with the Holy Ghost. Now, we already went through the Logos, but listen, if you spend 15 minutes reading the Word of God, then you didn't know I was going to say this, but you should probably spend another 15 minutes meditating and digging into your spirit about that Word. Now, you're cultivating. Amen. All right, a rhema word of God will speak to you about the future. Let's go to John chapter 16. Praise the Lord. Now, did we come here to get tickled tonight? Or did we come here to get acknowledged by men? We came here to learn something, right? And I'm telling you, I've been poring over this for the last week. I spent 4 hours working on this for you today. I spent time preparing this burger for you. Come on, if your wife spent all day making Christmas dinner, and then you say, oh, honey, I just had a Snickers bar. I'm not hungry. I didn't do this just with my mind. I did this with my spirit. I did this with my mind. I did it by being led. John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus is speaking about the Holy Ghost. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Now, what's the difference between the disciples at this point and after the book of Acts? Their spirits are made new in the book of Acts. So they have old human spirits here. Fragile, faulty spirits. They can't believe with their heart. They can only believe with their head. That's why he said, stop doubting, only believe. They didn't have the spiritual capacity to believe like you and I do. Praise God. You got it better than John. You got it better than Mark. You got it better than, come on, you got it better than Peter. He said, go out and cast out devils. But they didn't have a testifying spirit. They had delegated authority. They didn't get born again until Jesus' resurrection. That's what he was promising us in Ezekiel and in the book of Joel. So he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So this rhema word will confirm the written word. It'll be an intimate word. It'll be something that you can be led by. But he will also speak to you of things to come. How many of you, this is just I still find it very ironic because I even do it. When the Holy Ghost is speaking to me about, especially somebody in the congregation, and then he gives me a warning for them, or I begin to pray for them and process it, then when they do the thing that God tells me that they're going to do, I get mad, and I have to deal with that. When all the time God is telling me in advance, so I could either try to save them at it, or I can prepare myself for the shock when they do it. Now, you all know it's the same for you, because the Holy Ghost tells you things to come. And that's a rhema word. And it's so much a part of you. It's so heavy with God's anointing when it's in you. When it happens, you go, I knew it. Hold on, you didn't know because you discerned it with your head, you foolish person. You knew it because the Spirit of God was showing you something to come. People get born again and they have this happen to them. They call it deja vu. In deja vu is the Holy Ghost. When you're walking through the day and you say, I know that person from somewhere. I've been in this place before. Yeah, God was showing you in advance. You're a spiritual being first. Now, where does he speak to you from? Not your ears, not your eyes. Come on. He doesn't speak to you when your skin gets contracted in the Holy, Holy Ghost. I love those, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's God. It could mean I got a little perspiration and I stand in front of an air conditioner. Come on. It could be Pastor Nija passes in front of me and I go, woo. That don't mean the Holy Ghost is in it, but it usually is in that. Come on. God is going to speak to me and testify to me about things to come, about intimate things about my life, about things that I'm to do, things I'm to shun, things I'm to pray. He's not going to speak to me up here. He's going to speak to me here. His spirit is in my spirit. The Holy Ghost, the wine of God. Come on. The bread of God is the Logos. The rhema is like wine that fills your wineskin. That's where he's going to speak to me from. The more I get this to think like God, the more this comes up as I'm drawing on his presence, then I'm full of it and it's easy to walk in faith. God never made you so that it would be difficult for you to be a man or a woman of faith. Your nature is to be in faith. Your nature is to speak like God. Your nature is to have the authority like God has authority. That's your true nature.
Well, yeah, but I've been this mousy way all my life.
Well, you got born again. That old way's gone. That's a foreigner. You know, let the Holy Ghost circumcise those things out of your life and cut off the deadness useless of that flesh. Let it go. And let that new nature, that new creation begin to take you. Well, I've always been a doubter. Oh, no, no, no. Your head's a doubter, but your spirit's not. And your heart's a doubter because you're saying it all the time. I don't know about you, but I'm a man of faith. I know the will of God. I pray this. I have prayed this so much, I actually believe it. I hear God's voice clearly. I respond quickly without hesitation or fear of men. And when the word of God comes out of my mouth, creative miracles happen. This world is transformed by words that are anointed that come out of my mouth with the power of God. Literally, things around me, circumstances and situations, and even the molecular structure of things change. Because my spirit is a living spirit. I've been born again. And when it comes out as a fruit of the fullness of my heart, and I have the now word about the thing. Do you know what I mean by the now word? Permission. Now. I believe I have it now. God said it's mine, and I know I have it, even though I may not have someone. Pastor Bill said, you need to get that building. He said, the kingdom needs that building. I said, oh, it's already mine. I don't have the keys yet. It's already mine. I don't have the keys yet, but I have the deed. Do I have the paper that says it's mine? Paper don't mean anything. Paper follows what I believe. And I don't believe it because I set my head would say, we don't need it right now. We need to get the gas station down. Because my head says, we need to get the roof on. We need to get the gables on. We need to do some work over there to make that more children friendly across the street. All those things need to happen. But I know that's ours. My head says not yet. But my heart says it's already mine. Come on. And you have it too. Now how do you get that now word to action? Sometimes you got to meditate on it until you can see it. What are you doing when you're doing that? Are you playing mind over matter? No, you're getting your mind in agreement with a matter that God already established. When you pray about this being done, I'm almost going to speak Kenny translation. You ain't releasing no power unless you can see it done. When you pray about that filling station being over there, you aren't releasing any power until you can see it. Listen, if you can't see it done, you'll never believe it. That's why God, when he speaks to you, he doesn't speak to you in English very often. Because your spirit's language is not English. The language that God chooses most often, and we can find it in the Old Testament and the New, is an image. A knowing. When you speak it into English, you think God speaks to Pastor Marvin in English? He doesn't speak to him in Spanish either. When it comes up into English, guys, listen. The King James was not written. The Bible was not written in King James, Elizabethan English. The Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew. It was translated into German before it was translated into English. Hardy har har har. The King James isn't going to help anybody that speaks Spanish understand the Word of God. But now the Reina of Valera, which was written about the same time, might. You understand what I'm trying to say? The language that God is going to speak to you, when it comes up into your head, it may sound King James's. I can't even speaketh that a wayeth. Because I just don't meditate that a wayeth. God's not going to speak to me in the language of the NIV. It may sound like it. Because that's the way my mind thinks. But the language that he's going to speak to me is spirit-taught words. In Romans chapter 8, it says that these words, these rhema words, they're inexpressible words. You can't speak them in your own language. That's why we speak in tongues. That's a whole subject that we have to get into. Praise the Lord. So one more scripture, and then we'll close, and we'll talk about the spirit-taught words on Sunday. The last thing that the Word of God, a rhema word, is going to be to you. Are you still connected? Yeah. Say, I'm still here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, the rhema word of God reveals the thoughts of God. Now, let me put that into just the way God and I talk. A rhema word of God will teach you to think like God. God is not withholding his thoughts from you. He's a liberal giver. When you ask for wisdom, he's going to give it. Maybe you should quit trying to get it in English. Heavenly Father, can I bring this about? Your job is to work the Word of God and to work the revelation until it comes up into your mind in what we call knowledge and understanding. And you can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Until you can put it into something that you can handle and give to somebody else. Oh, I had this idea for you, and it was just a lovely idea, and I just felt lovely when I had the idea. But I can't tell you what it was because I just had this wonderful... Is that going to do you any good? Now, I have these plans that I drew out of this really cool chair, and I went and researched where the material... That's called understanding. But writing it down, and that's called knowledge. I'm starting to be able to grasp the thing. I'm starting to be able to dominate the thing. I'm starting to be able to use the tools that God has given me. The Word of God, if I don't understand it, can't become rhema. And because it has to come out of my mouth in my tool. It's got to be translated from spiritual words into my language is English. And I do know a little bit of Spanish. And if I can translate it, if I can bring the revelation into understanding, now it's in a format that I can what? Promote. I can publish. I can broadcast. It becomes not a thing of sovereignty or grace and mercy. It becomes a thing of authority. It's different if you say, you can use my power drill anytime you ask. Okay, great. I can do that job. I have access to a power drill, but I got to ask you. But now if I got my own power drill, I don't need to ask you anymore because I know how to use a power drill because you taught me. Now I've got my own. I can do it anytime I want to. It takes it from that sovereign, that grace, and that mercy side where you don't know when God is going to drop the thing, and he puts it into you. That's the sword of the Spirit, the rhema word of God. And when we get the understanding of something, it draws up out of our spirit. It begins to fill our heart, and it's not in English. But when it comes to you, when you harvest it, when you translate it into English words, now you can build somebody else up. Now you can profess the thing in faith. Now you own it. And you'll never put it into English until you can see it. And just because babies can see in the spirit, babies will say, yeah, I know, I've known that. Yeah, I knew that. Well, yeah, you're a spirit-born being and God's mind is in you. And yes, you should know, but you're a little You're acting like a little baby if you don't hone in the, you don't work the thing until you get into English so you can punch it out in this world. You can't pull the trigger if you don't know where the trigger is. And your trigger is probably going to be English unless you know another language. So here's where it comes from. However, as it is written, oh, this is good. I hate to quit. What no eye has seen, say I. What no ear, say ear. Ear is heard. And what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love them. Oh, God's ways are higher than my ways. Oh, His thoughts are high. Yes, but hold on. He's not withholding them from you. He says, and these things, the next verse, He has revealed to us by His Spirit. You want it to become rhema? You got to see it. That takes time. That takes work. That takes effort. And we see it. Now, if you want it to punch the thing out into this world, you want to proclaim it, you want to prophesy it, it needs to be in your language. There's no use having 22 caliber bullets when you own a 38 caliber gun. The bullets are rhema. Come on, the caliber is English for you. When you get God's mind into English, and you can really provoke that process by beginning to think like God, by renewing your mind with the Logos, then you can start to say some things. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the capital S Spirit of God. Hold on. Didn't you get that Spirit? Well, yes, you did. What we have received is not the spirit, small s, of this world, but the Spirit who's from God, so that we may understand what is freely given. Everybody say understand. Thank you, Jesus. Seeing it is not understanding it. Understanding is when it gets into your realm of authority. You have knowledge of, oh, that's over at Menards. Oh, I have knowledge that they have a sale over at Bass Pro. Understanding is, okay, I've got 38 extra dollars in my account, and they're not tagged. That thing's $30, and then I'm going to have tax on top of it, so I got enough for tax and that thing. Okay, I got time in the middle of the day. Now I'm getting some understanding. Once I get the understanding, then I can go get the thing. But just knowing, that's knowledge. You have to know before you can understand. You have to see before you can bring it into knowledge and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. You're supposed to go after both of them. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. Understanding is being able to release it. With wisdom, a man builds his house. He builds it on paper. He builds it in his spirit. With understanding, he fills it with good things. Praise the Lord. That's good scripture. This is what we speak. Not in rhema, taught to us by human wisdom, but in rhema, taught to us by the Spirit. Explaining, everybody say explaining. Praise the Lord. Spiritual realities with spirit taught rhema words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are only discerned by their spirit. Now, the person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? You do. You have an anointing that abides and instructs you in all things. Come on. Well, I know what the Word of God says, but I don't know what to do about this situation. All right, you're partially lying and you're partially telling the truth. You're partially lying because you're disagreeing with the Word. And the Word says you know. If you've asked, you know. You just haven't brought it into understanding yet. See, you're trying to know with your flesh. You're trying to know with your head. No, don't try and know it there. You experience it with your spirit. You become familiar with your spirit. Begin to fill your heart. Now you're going to get some understanding. Come on. Now you're going to be able to start declaring it in your language. You can pull the trigger on that thing. And when God says now, you don't have to stammer about it. You're ready. The words are on your lips. They've been in your heart. Now they're on your lips, and you're just waiting for God to say now. That's a rhema. Oh, man, this is good. And the last part of this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. We have the thoughts of God. You have to back that up with John chapter 14 and 15. Everything that God has belongs to Jesus. And everything that Jesus has, the Holy Ghost will reveal to you. Don't make him out to be a liar. Hold on, but maybe you've been getting this all wrong. He's revealing it to you. He's not revealing it to your head. He's revealing it to your spirit. It's your job to draw it up into your heart. It's your job to get your mind in agreement with it through the Logos. Begin to think like God. Once you're thinking like God, now you can recognize what's in your heart a whole lot easier. And you begin to speak it out of your mouth. You'll have the, I own it. I don't have to ask Johnny to borrow his drill anymore. I don't have to wait for somebody to come along and say, hey, do you want a drill? Do you need a drill? I've got four of them over there. I remember the day when Pastor Josh and I, we borrowed that Milwaukee. And we didn't have the money to get ourselves one. I'm serious. We turned a lot of screws. We borrowed, you know how we met Steve, how we became familiar with him? He loaned us a crowbar. Remember the big yellow one? We didn't have one. We started doing demo work with what we had. We had a ball peen hammer, a couple ball peen hammers, remember that, Karen? A couple shovels. We didn't have much. Then Steve come along and said, what do you guys do? You guys need one of these. But see, now we've got, how many we got over there? Big ones. We got three or four big ones over there. There's a difference, isn't it? I don't have to wait for a moving, for God to move on somebody's heart to tear something down when he speaks to me about it. And that's the same. Once you get it into English, now it's yours. It doesn't work from your head down. You can make deposits and you can provoke and you can plant seeds, letting that trap door come out as you confess the word of God. But listen, it's got to come up out of your spirit. Amen. Pastor Josh, would you close us out?
Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone just take a deep breath. I don't know about you. My flesh was filled up a long time ago, but my spirit was still getting some revelation. Amen. I'm expecting it to come to manifest in the months and even years to come. Well, let's bow our heads tonight and pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. It is so rich, Lord, so living and active. Lord, we thank you for revelation coming from the teaching tonight about what your word contains, the power that is inside of it. Lord, we thank you that your word would become alive inside of each and every one of us, and it would come out of our mouths with authority and power, and it would change things around us, and it would be for your glory. Lord, we just praise you and we worship you. We thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.